Shall we begin?
Let's begin.
This is incredible! Jordy Buss with a masterful solo goal.
What a finish from Samuel Silveira!
Robertson! And the Man City youngster opens the scoring.
Oh, and it's Garang Kuol who has equalised right at the end.
This is the Soccer Who's podcast, the show all about Australian football as we look to unearth the next generation of Socceroos who will one day wear the green and gold.
Welcome to the Soccer Who's pod. My name is Lockie, and to my right sits James, my co-host. This show is all about the future of Australian football, specifically looking at the Socceroos, hoping one day that we will see World Cup glory. And you will hear the names of those World Cup winners on this podcast before ideally anywhere else.
Yep.
We're hopefully unearthing these people, or at least bring them across your mind.
To the public eye.
Bring them. Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the two other podcasts. I won't name them, but I hear there's two other podcasts that wanted us to not do an episode this week. We got sent an email basically going, because you denied the opportunity to step up to the national podcasting ranks, they tried to shut us down. And I said, nope, we weren't officially called up to the national podcasting ranks. So we will be doing a podcast episode this week, and you can't stop us.
Yep.
That's true. I don't need to explain that joke.
No. It speaks for itself, really.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't understand that joke, this might not be the podcast for you. I don't want you to switch off, but hopefully we'll talk about the topic later, and then you can go back to the start of this episode and listen to it again.
Wow, that's a callback.
And then go, it's a weird callback in the sense that we're explaining the joke later on when we talk about, anyway, enough about that. I do want to kick this episode off. Once again, going through some orders of business. We asked last week who would make the Oli Roo squad if you were in charge. Who were some people that would be in with a shout? Boone, he's only listed the overage players. He says Nisbet and Cassini Yangi.
For the
overage
Olympics,
players.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the Olympics. So
I love the Yangi shout.
Yeah?
I think that's a really smart one. Because he hasn't had many first team opportunities with the Socceroos.
Yep.
They've been limited. And it screams the kind of springboard that we were talking about last episode about Graham Arnold liking to use the Olympics as a springboard into the national team setup. And I think that's a really good shout of the springboard moment for Yangi to take over from Duke.
Yeah. No, I like that. James, with a player like Yangi, what does he bring that those in the current squad don't bring?
Yeah, so I think what's most interesting about this Oli Roo squad for the Asian Cup compared to the last squad for the WAF, West Asian Football Federation, whatever it is, it's a weird name.
Yeah,
is Waddingham is absent for one, and Waddingham and Yangi have a lot of overlap in terms of how they want to play. Yangi likes to drift a bit wider and be a bit more dribbly, but they both like to drop into the pockets. Whereas when you look at this squad, you've got two strikers, Mo Touré and Alou Kouol, who are both very much on the last shoulder of the defenders trying to get in behind. And you don't really have any kind of hold-up nine in that squad. So Yangi would actually bring an entirely new dynamic. And Mo Touré can also play, left wing or right wing as well. So it's really what you're looking at is Yangi, does he offer more than Waddingham right now? Most definitely yes. A lot further along. Does he have a higher ceiling than Waddingham? I would say marginally so, because I think as you realize potential, there's also a fair assessment to say your expectation of potential increases.
Yep.
I think Waddingham doesn't have the most insane potential, purely based on his physical profile, but he could improve over the next 12 months technically out of this world, and that changes, right? But as of right now, I think Yangi adds a lot to that squad as a hold-up number nine that will drift into wide areas, then get the best out of players like Mo Touré, who I think are the stars of this squad.
Okay, and Josh Nisbet as well, also in there?
Not sure on Nisbet. We have a really strong midfield, as always. I honestly think adding in a really experienced centre-back would really help this squad a lot. Because you have
Trent Sainsbury.
Grief, no. You have.
He's playing well at the moment. Actually, he's playing right back in the Middle East somewhere.
Yeah, we'll leave him in forgotten.
yeah, but did you not see his thunderous throw-in? He's now doing long throws. How good would that be at the Olympics?
Wow, yeah, no. When you look at this squad, you have a lot of hybrid centre-backs. And when I say hybrid centre-backs, I mean centre-backs that like to play on the outside. Mm. So JCP is a hybrid centre-back. He wants to get to the outside. You got Goodwood Reich, who has played DM for most of his juniors, and he's only started to play centre-back this year for Sydney FC and has excelled. You have Nata, who's been very inconsistent for the Jets, but also likes to play on the outside. Then you have Popovic, who I think is a solid centre-back option as well. So I think maybe adding in one centre-back to pair with Popovic, Goodwood Reich in that kind of realm, I think you'd rather play JCP on the left side in that kind of elbow idea that the Socceroos have been using to allow your right-backs to maraud forward.
James, you're obviously not a fan of Sainsbury. Do you opt for someone like Suter or other centre-back options at the moment that are in and around the national team? You've got Shaqiri. I don't see him being called.
Yeah, the issue is you don't really have many in that kind of age range because you...
Alex Grant.
You more so have a lot of centre-backs that are of age, but they're just tied up with their, you know, their actual club duties like Triantis.
I've got one. Tomislav Marcela.
Wow, that is also foreshadowing and definitely not something that you would have come up with by yourself.
What do you mean? I came across Croatian, you know, tier one football.
Yeah, for sure. I think another name that would be very typical of Arnold would be Kai Rolls.
Yeah, okay.
Or J. Rich Bagaloo.
Oh, a name that I haven't heard in a while because he was injured for a fair period of time.
Be a very... I wouldn't be surprised Arnold to do something like that.
Is Arnold managing the Olympic squad? I thought
he's not, but he. Let's be real, he's influencing it.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I think another name when I look across is someone like Thierry Francois could be an interesting one as well as a midfielder.
Oh, yep.
Because he's been playing really well in Denmark recently, playing some good consistent football.
Okay. Well, James, we also had Dan respond to that question. He said Matthew Grimaldi out of Western United.
Yeah, he's been developing well for Western. Mostly been playing out wide, but finally got his opportunity to play as a 10 actually on the weekend against MacArthur. Scored a goal and a well-taken finish, I think. It was a bit of a grab, but sometimes you just got to finish those, right? And great little turn, put it top corner, and it was a great goal. But for Matthew Grimaldi at 20 years of age, I'm still not sold on his upwards potential, I guess, to be a Socceroo. I think when you're talking about this squad, yeah, in terms of current ability, he's in and around the squad.
Mm.
He could definitely be in. There's an argument to be made. But if I'm looking at when I select a youth squad for the national team, I'm thinking long term, right? I'm putting together players that all have the potential, I think, to play for the Socceroos. And I think Grimaldi has the potential to be a mighty fine A-League player.
Yep.
And be one of the best A-League players, you know, consistently, but not quite Socceroos level.
Sure. Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's kind of the beauty of youth football at times though, right? A lot of times you see in the Olyroos, and whether this is what you want to see or not is a different thing, but you see in the Olyroos players that don't make Socceroos potential, but they play youth football for Australia. And because it's a lot of the time it's feeling out where a player is going to shine, how they are going to grow into the role. And I think there's been a lot of discourse this week specifically around one certain player and fulfilling his potential. Of course, I'm referring to Iran Kunda. Whether the national team is the best place or the junior national team is the best place for him to realise that potential, or whether him staying at Adelaide and then, you know, focusing on playing for Adelaide and then moving to Bayern Munich, and whether that's going to be the best thing for him.
Yeah, I think I would definitely rule out the Olympics for Iran Kunda if it's pure purpose. We said it last week of it overlapping with Bayern's preseason camp and even the start of the season. And Bayern wants him in the first team. So I think that rules out the Olympics, which I think also then makes sense why he would reject a call-up as well, an unofficial call-up as well, because it just didn't make sense. That kind of late notice, that backflip from the team of Trevor Morgan and, you know, influence, of course, by Graham Arnold. I think, yeah, it just wouldn't have made sense. I think staying in front of Adelaide fans, actually saying goodbye to the home faithful before having a good finish in the season was more important.
One small thing. I think it's Tony Vidmer that does.
Yes, my mistake. Trevor Morgan is Joey's, I believe. So
I believe the
two,
same thing.
Two T's, Tony and Trevor.
Anything else you want to say on Aaron Quinter? Otherwise, the Joeys did play.
Yeah, well, obviously there was the situation of the two clubs. Yep. Bit of a farce.
So that's when the joke that I made earlier, now it's going to make more sense.
It makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
We allegedly had two A-League clubs try and say Aaron Quinter shouldn't play for the entirety of the under-23s Oli Roos camp because he didn't accept the call-up.
Which is just ridiculous.
Stupid.
I mean, is that a symptom of the APL and the clubs running the league? Or is that...
I think the issue is that I believe from what I read and researched is there is a rule actually from Football Australia.
Okay.
So not FIFA. Obviously in FIFA you can reject youth call-ups and there's no consequence. But Football Australia have a rule for their clubs. If the clubs reject the call-up for a youth Australian international, they could be blocked from playing.
Okay.
So I believe it's a Football Australia rule. And basically that's where these two clubs have said, hang on, we've had players called up, we have to accept it or they don't play. So, I mean, you're forcing us to accept it.
Mm.
And then you have Aaron Quinter for Adelaide. Why does he get a different one? Is it because he's, you know, he's star boy?
Yeah.
So I somewhat see it. But at the same time, like, grow up.
Yeah.
You have to realize that your last three games of the season is not that important for the next, you know, decade and a half of Australian football.
Yep.
If anything, because that you're probably of those two teams that are playing Aaron Quinter, otherwise you wouldn't have an issue.
Or maybe you've had a number of your players called up.
And you're competing with Adelaide for a final spot, potentially. Of the remaining three games at Adelaide, you've got Western United, Central Coast, Brisbane Roar, all the home teams. So presumably one of them would be one of the ones complaining. But if you're playing Aaron Quinter, surely you're using that as a marketing chip as well. The kid's going out to Bayern, probably one of the best prospects ever to come from these shores. Surely you're marketing that and you're using that to your advantage, not complaining about the fact that he's playing.
I mean, I don't want to point fingers at any clubs because, as you say, it could be someone competing with Adelaide. It could also just be someone... There are two clubs at the moment. Both Sydney teams are 5 and 6 on the table and they've had a couple of their players called up. They've had, you know, Courtney Perkins, Gerwood Reich. You've got some of the Western Sydney Wanderers boys as well. And they might want to keep their players at the club, especially during a critical time in the season. So it's probably not worth us trying to speculate who the teams are.
I think what's probably more interesting is the fact there is a Football Australia rule.
Yeah, and that feels like that rule, I think, should probably be updated. Yeah. I can see why it exists because obviously we want to develop talent and they want to develop talent and they think that the national team is probably one of the best places to do that. But, yeah, an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't mind it, actually, to be fair. I think maybe the issue was it was an informal call-up.
Yeah.
And I think that highlights the importance just to follow procedure. Like, don't do this informal phone call if you're planning on calling a guy up.
Because it was Trevor Morgan, I think, who sent the text message for Tony Vidmer. I'm kidding. It's just a joke.
Right. No, that sounds about right. That's why I was mixed up. Yeah,
and Graham obviously was also in the group chat.
Yeah. They had a WhatsApp group going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was, hey, Nesta, you up? And that was it.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, is this a call up or not?
Yeah, who knows?
Anyway.
I think, yeah, but that's probably the bigger issue of, you know, it was an informal call-up, and that's what's caused this issue. not the fact that he denied it, not the fact of the rule, the fact that policy or procedure wasn't followed.
And you know how much of a stickler I am for procedure and policy.
I mean, yeah, obviously we have a, I think it's 485 pages long, policies and procedures document here at the Socceroos podcast.
We do. When was the last time that was updated?
I believe it was yesterday.
Oh, I haven't seen that edit, so.
Apologies. I think it's just pages and pages of Genton Jones, actually.
I'm going to take you behind the scenes of this. Before we get to Around the Grounds, before we talk about the Joeys, speaking about policy and procedure. James, before we started recording, he says, Lachlan, have you ever heard of the name David Peterman?
Yep.
He is a 30-year-old Italian-Australian playing in Serie C.
Mm. Having a good season.
And I think I'm going to try and campaign to get him to be a part of the Socceroos. And I just rolled my eyes because we've had it with Gethin Jones already.
We did it.
To an extent, Jason Cummings potentially as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we were directly responsible.
No, it's 100% us.
But if there is a player that you've never heard of, you're probably likely to hear them first on this podcast.
Yep. Whether it's a 15-year-old player playing for Club Rouge, winning the MVP of a Orange Vein tournament,
mm-hmm.
or if it's a 30-year-old Italian-Australian dual national that has hardly touched professional football.
Yep.
We've heard of them.
And there is absolutely no way that David Peterman is making a Socceroos squad anytime soon.
But now you've heard his name. And now you know of the Italian, maybe this is a bit of a David Peterman.
Well, maybe this is a bit reverse psychology on James's part to bring up a name that he knew I would never actually mention on the show and we'd never actually talk about. And now I'm doing it as a way of paying him out for bringing it up. But now we're talking about him on the show. Yep.
I mean, I like to think that there's some weird world where the David Peterman fan club stumble upon this and they're like, look, rare mention of David Peterman and pop off.
No disrespect to David, but I imagine his fan club exists largely of
his brother, his
family,
mother.
And then close personal friends. I would dare say acquaintances of him. You know, I think he spent a lot of his time in Italy, but
he spent his entire career in Italy.
So if he had spent any time in Australia, you might have had a former co-worker or a former classmate go, oh, I think I recognise that name. But other than that, I don't think...
I mean, Australia, Italy have close ties in terms of football. We have a lot of players that are dual nationals with the two. Speaking of that, should we speak about one that plays at centre-back?
I like that you're really trying to get out of this. I don't think we're going to see David Peterman anytime soon.
Are we still speaking about David Peterman?
Because you brought him up pre-show, and I just want to articulate...
Yeah, it's a bit of a gag.
I just want to articulate the vetting that has to happen before we talk about stuff on this podcast.
Do you want another name?
That's part of the...
Is that what you're asking for?
No.
I have a few more for you.
Absolutely not. James, I teased just before, the Joeys.
Yes.
They played a game the other night. It was a 4-3 win against Switzerland, and Brizzy Boy... Quinn McNichol scored a brace in the game. A nice little match for the Joeys.
Oh, it was a great game. And I believe it was, they were 3-1 up, I want to say, before extra time. So the way they did it,
it was
120 minutes.
Yeah.
Broken into four 30-minute quarters.
Yeah.
So modified game, which makes sense when you're doing youth setup football, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to try lots of different combinations, see different players playing with each other. But over the course of the first 90, Joeys just dominated the game and Switzerland caught them at the end where Joeys were experimenting. But it was really encouraging, but also doesn't really come as a surprise because when you look at this cohort, when you look at the players, the vast majority of them have played a lot of senior men's football already, despite being 15, 16, some 17 years of age. They have played a lot of senior men's football, whether that is getting the first few A-League minutes like Quinn McNichol, or a lot of them have played senior NPL football, well fast-tracked because of just how talented this age range is. So it's really special to see, really exciting to see, and it'll be really interesting to see how they go against Milan because that's who they're playing in their next game. They're playing Milan under 17s, I believe.
Okay. Different, obviously, Milan being an established team already.
So they'll have a lot more combinations than they used to.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll see and hear, you know, more from that game. Any other players other than Quinn that stood out to you?
I thought Quinn was probably the single biggest one. I thought he was really phenomenal. And Raw have a potential seven-figure player coming through, which would be very, very nice. The other one was Looney Tutu. I thought he was good. I thought he was actually quite solid. He really drove well into gaps, helping create. And I think he was quite impressive. So he played the first two quarters, scored a goal as well in the 71st minute. I thought he was quite influential in how he drifted into spaces out wide.
Amlani Tutu.
Yes.
I think you said Tutu.
I probably did. I apologize.
That's his cousin who's on Broadway.
My mistake, yeah.
Anyway, I can't wait to see how they go against Milan.
It was good to see as well Trefletti playing.
Oh, yes.
Dinello, dual national with Italy as well. We've got another.
Yep. He and Peterman.
Yeah.
Next two Socceroo caps.
Yep.
shall we go around the grounds, chat about what's going on?
That sounds wonderful.
Lachlan. With another Italian-Australian footballer. James, Ciccardi, he's been playing well for Parma. They're currently on top of the Serie B. And another clean sheet for him, nil-all draw.
Yes, Ciccardi, he had a bit of a tough period through February and March where he kind of struggled a little bit, was in and out of the squad, but back in the squad now, regularly starting football matches again. And, you know, he did his job in a nil-all draw. Same that the Parma forwards can, you know, finish the cake, so to speak. But it was a good point, and it gets him back on track after a loss headed in the direction of the title.
How many games left in the Serie B season?
Six.
Okay. So a little bit of a ways to go, but they're currently 7 points clear of the team in third, which is the promotion playoff. So it's not out of the question, but you'd expect them to get promoted.
Yeah, at this stage, yeah. Parma, Como should definitely be the two teams that get promoted, I think.
Moving across to Norway, Nick D'Agostino, 5-0 win in the cup, scoring. And Franco Lino also made his debut.
He did. Good to see him starting. And another name that's, you know, a bit interesting of, well, that's a potential Ole Roos player right there. But I think more important for him is getting senior men's football for, you know, Viking, actually breaking into the team, because he could be a very important player for Australia for many years to come. Especially considering the lack of depth we have at fullback currently.
Yes, yes. Another one of those who are just playing well over in Norway. It seemed like for a point we're sending all our talent to Scotland, but now we've diversified.
We've pivoted.
Now it's Norway as well as Scotland. Not so much the Netherlands.
Yeah, we've got one apparently being pushed out, Matty Ryan.
That's not good. They lost 5-1 to PSV this week. And that, I think, by my calculation, makes it the second 5-0 loss in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so not
five-goal loss, I should say.
Yes, not good for Matty Ryan. But it makes sense, I think, why he's being pushed out the door. And I think it's no coincidences that these two five-goal games have come after that news broke. Because when you're a keeper, it's all about confidence, right? It's all mental. We know he has the ability, but he now knows that he's being moved on at the end of the season. So it makes sense that his confidence has been shaken. But the reason he's being moved on is AZ have one of the best young keepers coming through in their academy, and it's time for his first team football.
They don't want to do a switch out with Tom Glover, who's been rumoured to be leaving Middlesbrough?
Probably not, no. I don't think they're rumoured to be getting Tommy Glover. I believe he's been linked to different teams.
I think Celtic Rangers.
Yeah, Celtic Rangers.
A couple of Scottish teams.
Yeah. I think he's definitely ready for first team, like starting minutes, being the first choice keeper. And I think he was really impressive through January, Thomas Glover. And I think he's probably ready to be a first choice keeper, because Middlesbrough, they have an upward trajectory, I think, that exceeds him. So I don't think he'll ever be first choice at Middlesbrough. So I think a move does make sense.
For Ryan, he turns it on for the Socceroos every single time he plays, I think. I think he is a fantastic servant of the national team. But where to next for him?
Next club that needs him, right?
Sure.
It'll be in one of these, you know, non-top five leagues, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that's the first division in the nation. Maybe he stays in the Netherlands. Maybe goes back to Belgium. You know,
okay.
Heaps of those options. Yeah. Portugal, one of those. But I could also see him dropping, quote-unquote, down to a second division.
Yep.
Whether it be the Championship or the second Bundesliga, something like that. I can see that being quite comfortable for him.
Do you see him playing for one more club and then returning to the A-League?
It's hard to say because for a keeper, he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
I could see, I think, what I would suspect for Matty Ryan's next move, I think, is he just wants stability.
Yeah.
He's been moving around a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to find a club that says, hey, we'll have you here 2, 3, 4 years and just kind of stays there for a while. Then he spends a year in the A-League, probably for Central Coast.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice to see. I mean, obviously, Vukovic at Central Coast. And then maybe when he retires, bring Matty home.
Potentially. They also had some very good youngsters in their academy.
That's true.
Goalkeepers, but who knows? That's a long year in the future.
Hey, also in the Netherlands, let's stay there. Aiden Hrustic playing quite well at the moment against Sparta Rotterdam. 2-1 loss, unfortunately. Or win. No, 2-1 win. I don't know why I thought that. He is way too good for this team, though.
Yes. He's transformed Hercules from potential relegation threat to... Wait, are they going to get to Europe? Are they going to end up squeezing up there? I don't think they will. 10 points off with 7 games left. But with the form that he has pushed them and catapulted them into, he could get them up to 8, which is all they need to do.
They're eight points clear of the drop zone.
Yes, thanks to him. Because before he was there, they were in that kind of relegation playoff spot.
Mm.
But he has transformed this team very quickly.
Yeah, it's good to see. I love seeing Aussies just playing well at a decent level and establishing themselves as leaders within their respective sides.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see if he stays there next year as well, or if he kind of just has that little bounce back and he goes back to a top five league.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think he's good enough for a top five league, but after his prior experience, it may be, you know what, I'll have another year at Hercules. You know, we'll get them into Europe, then... From there, who knows where he'll go, right? He could stay there for another year because they're in Europe and continue helping them grow. I definitely have a soft spot for players that do that, that stick with the club, that may be below their skill level, but help them grow to get to their skill level. I have a huge respect for players like that. So it'll be very interesting to see what Hrustic does within this next 2-3 years of his career.
I do also love, and I've just reminded myself of this, his teammate, Hercules? Terracles.
I like saying Hercules.
You've been leading me astray, leading me down the wrong path. One of his teammates is the one and only Jiz Hornkamp, which is just, as a name, funny.
Yep.
It's just immature of me, sure. But...
I've never clicked on this man's profile before, so I've always just... It's Hornkamp. And now you've made me click on his profile, and yep, that is his name.
It's just a great name. If you're not familiar, we're the show that brings you names of Australian footballers and Italian-Australian footballers, but also Dutch footballers as well.
Thanks, Lachlan.
No worries. Moving back to the Australians, Jackson Irvine, St. Pauli, got a goal in a 2-1 loss. They're still on top of the table, though, with a 2-point gap, looking for promotion to the Bundesliga.
Yeah, Jackson Irvine, definitely a player still playing, you know, at a very high level. I would love to see him in the Bundesliga. I think he deserves it. Obviously, captain of St. Pauli as well. The most impressive bit is just how box-to-box and well-rounded he has become. He's added goals to his repertoire so well. And then, you know, getting another one here. He's, you know, in the 85th percentile for goals in the midfield for the 2 Bundesliga. So, he's been absolutely phenomenal box-crashing. And he's one of the best aerial presences as well. So, for Irvine... It's so impressive how talented he is going box to box, and hopefully he can add his first trophy to the cabinet since the League Cup with Ross County in 2016.
James, I mentioned this player before, Marcella, playing the Croatian top flight, lost 2-3, but he scored 2 goals from centre-back. And usually, we wouldn't talk about this bloke, but anytime a centre back scores two goals, I think it's worth
mentioning. Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I actually watch a surprising amount of Croatian football because we have a few Australians, obviously, over there.
Mm-hmm.
You have Tomislav, of course, Mesla. You got Deni Juric.
Yep.
Still out there, struggling a bit more for minutes. And then you've also got Anthony Kalik.
Oh, okay. As well,
24-year-old midfielder. So you've got a few players out there. And it was pleasant to see Mesla pop up with a brace from centre-back. Unfortunately, didn't keep three goals out, so lost 3-2. But good on him getting those goals. And, you know, with that kind of form, Croatian league's a decent level. So, you know, we get an injury to Sainsbury, get an injury to Rolls, Hakadi, Mesla maybe next off the rank.
I don't think so.
How many injuries would it take for you to say, yeah, let's call up Tomislav Mesla? So if you bring five centre-backs to a camp?
I think our friend David has more chance. David Peterman. Has more chance.
It's outrageous.
Well,
I'd rank him 8-9 right now. 8-9-10, that kind of area.
I mean, I haven't given this any thought. Off the top of my head,
Just vibe check.
Vibe, sure.
So don't think about players, just vibe check. What would he...
I'd say number? Top 15.
Top 15. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I think Croatia is a good league, but there's something in me that seems to think that Arnie would almost prefer an A-League player who's playing at a good level.
Probably, yeah.
Than someone playing in Croatia.
Okay, fair.
And well, there'd be a couple of those. Anyway.
Let's move on.
Enough of a handbrake there. Let's go to some youth football. Zach Gilsonen, playing in Blackburn, Premier League 2.
Irish Australian dual national.
Yep. He's represented Ireland a couple of times at a youth level.
Represented Australia a couple of times at a youth level.
It's true. He scored a goal for Blackburn.
Yeah, 1-0 win against Liverpool in the Premier League 2.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to speak about that?
Well, no, sorry. I'm just a Liverpool fan.
Hurting.
It's been a not great week. So
good week for Zach Gilsonen, though.
Great week for him.
1-0 win, scored the goal. And he's been playing really well for Blackburn in the Premier League 2 and has been in and around their championship squad, occasionally coming off the bench, getting a couple of minutes. I think Zach Gilsonen's one of those players that it's really important to look to getting him maybe to the Olympics. I think that would be really important. Obviously, there's the element that he wants to break into the first team.
Mm-hmm.
But the more we keep him in and around the Australian youth setup, the better, because I definitely think he's got Socceroos potential.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to keep him engaged. Another young player, though, let's quickly move into someone in the Joeys camp, of course, recently got announced as the MVP of the Orange Veins Cup. Gianluca Ocon, brother of Paul Ocon, Angstler.
Yep.
Younger form of the Paul Ocons. Son of Socceroos great Paul Ocon as well.
Mm.
He plays for Club Rouge. Recently got announced as MVP in the, obviously, the Orange Veins Cup. Where Club
what
Rouge
is the Orange Veins
it.
Cup?
It's a youth cup.
Is it a competition they go to? All go to doctors and they see which one has the most veins?
It's actually an eating competition.
Okay.
Where it's first to eat 10,000 oranges within your squad.
Wow. And MVP, that's a lot of oranges he would have been consuming.
Yeah, that's clearly the Australian heritage coming through of those half-time orange peels.
Yes. Oh, that's taking me back. Orange Veins Cup. Okay, congratulations, Gianluca.
Yeah, so he played well. Also played well for the Joeys alongside Marcus Neal.
Mm.
Lucas Neal's dad. So,
no, Lucas Neal's son, I think. Is what you...
Yeah.
Sorry. I just imagine. I don't know. Lucas Neal is in it. I think... 40s now. I'm just imagining a man in maybe 60s, 70s.
Playing for the Joeys. that'd be something to watch. But back on Gianluca Ocon. Played well in this tournament. It's a tournament run out of Rotterdam.
Okay.
So it's a good tournament and a lot of high quality teams come out there and he was the best of the lot. So good to see that. And
any good 60-year-olds playing in the Orange Veins Cup?
No, but it features teams like Ajax, Paris Saint-Germain, West Ham. So you've got some proper serious academies. Midtjylland as well has got a proper academy. So a good little
I'm just looking at the logos. Oh, it's SoCal, but I thought it said social. And you might get a couple of 60-year-olds if it's just a social team.
I'm trying to keep this moving here, Lachlan. You're really bogging down today.
Sorry.
Another youth cup that recently occurred, of course, was Sydney FC.
Yes.
They went over to Europe and they played very well over there, which was great to see as well. So Sydney FC sending over their under-16s, I believe it was, playing really well. And that's also really encouraging because we've just seen the Joeys play really well. Seeing the Joeys players playing really well. This is a really special generation we have coming through.
Yeah.
The second one in a row where we have some really strong talent. And we're really starting to see Football Australia's strategy of developing youth that was set up in the advent of the A-League really start to come into fruition and develop really strong youngsters. And hopefully we see the A-League survive and then ultimately thrive with the introduction of the National Second Division, because clearly with the players that we are now producing, the proof is in the pudding that this idea works, where this system works. Just need to make sure that we can fund it properly, that infighting doesn't kill it off, and promotion relegation helps it thrive even more into the future where the best of the best grow, because the talent we're developing is special and we're reaching that classic stage of Australian football where we're now currently developing some of the best 15 and 16-year-olds in the world.
Mm.
But from the ages of 17, 18, 19 and 20, those are the key ages now. And will we see Australian football get those right for this generation? Because previous few generations, it's been hit and miss.
Yep.
But we're presented with another amazing opportunity to get it right and have a special generation of footballers on our hands.
Well said. Couldn't have said it better, even with the fumbles in there.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. That'll be it for another week of the Soccer Who's podcast. If you want to get in touch with us, reach out via socials. TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram is where you can find us, or via email, soccerwhospod@gmail.com.
We're not going to talk about the A-League this week. I feel like the microphone's being pulled away from me, Lachlan.
Well, I'm sorry. We've gone long already.
All right. Let me just have a question for the money listeners of the show. Michael Roos, Socceroo potential? Yes or no?
Socceroos.
Yeah.
That's actually, that's how I'm going to write it.
Socceroos?
Yeah, yeah. And look, I'll give a shout out as well to Daniel Arzani. He's been playing very well.
Yeah. I think that game against MacArthur, Michael Roos was bloody phenomenal, mate.
Mm.
Really good number nine play. That's all I wanted to touch on. Okay. But you know what? Let's hear what the listeners have to say about Michael Roos for the Socceroos.
I like that. Well, thanks so much for listening. That'll be it for another week. And we'll catch you next time. Until then, enjoy the football.